This morning's scripture reading is in Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we will read verses 11 through 15. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 15. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Let's join together in prayer. Oh, Father, what a powerful, mighty, and wonderful God you are. And so many things that you have done. For you have created the earth and all that is in it with all of the beauty that surrounds it. And Lord, you have created and given us life, both life here on earth and eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. We remember that wonderful and mighty deed that you give through his coming to earth and dying for our sins, that we might live forever. Lord, we also focus this morning on remembering the things that you have done in each of our lives. And Lord, as we look forward to the rest of the service, in hearing the message this morning from the pastor and from Dave and Christy, about what you have done in their lives. May they be an encouragement to us, and may they too build us up through what you have done in sharing that with us. For we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. The passage that Jim just read talked about remembering the ways and works of the Lord. There are many scriptures that talk about remembering and memorials. And there are many scriptures that talk about God's way or path or road. And Communion kind of brings both of those together. As I mentioned, we are going to dedicate our entire service to communion this morning. Lord willing, next week we'll get back into the life of David and Lord willing, look at the story of David and Goliath. I'm really looking forward to that, but I've been very much looking forward to today as well. And looking at a couple different stories from a few different individuals. But communion brings both the ways of God and that remembering of God together. And this morning we're going to dedicate the entire service to communion. For communion, it is an ordinance that Jesus himself established as a means of remembering God's way, remembering God's road to salvation, the road that he led us down. Now, as we share the gospel with other people, sometimes we might walk them down through a series of scriptures that has become known as Romans Road. In fact, we were talking about this in youth group just this past week. But walk with me, if you would, down Romans Road. In fact, you can just listen if you like, but I just want to walk through a couple scriptures. And as we read these scriptures, perhaps remember a point in time when you came to realize what this particular passage meant to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And for those of us who have trusted in Christ, there came a point in time when we were forced to come to the realization that there is nobody that deserves to be in God's presence for eternity. Romans 3:23 tells us why. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then comes Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the Romans road right there. We can use that to walk a person from sinner to salvation. Or we might walk them through a series of scriptures called John's Road. Walk with me down that road and remember when you realize the truth of these scriptures. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We can use these roads to share with people and lead them from sinner to salvation. We've got Romans Road, we've got John's Road, but also for those of us that have trusted in Christ for salvation, we have our road. We have our testimony of salvation. How we came to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation is one of the most natural and the most easy way to share the gospel message with someone who does not know Him. We can walk them through how we came to the realization that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And as we share our testimony of salvation, that testimony could actually lead a person from sinner to salvation. You can walk them down your road. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, taking a stroll down memory lane, right? Well, I have asked three people to take a few minutes and share their memory lane with us this morning. Each testimony of salvation is very, very special in that it tells the story of a soul that went from condemnation to salvation. They're all special, but each one is unique. I should put it this way. Each one is special. Each one is unique, but in the same way, each one is very much the same because they all started at sinner. They all ended at salvation. All right. So they're unique because they are individual stories, but they're the same in that this is how every person makes that trek from sinner to salvation. And as I said, I've asked three people to share this morning, but let me pray first, and then our first one will be Christy Neufeld. But let me pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank You for the ordinance of communion and this very joyful yet sobering opportunity that we have to remember. Lord, we do thank You for the gift of Your Son. We thank you for the simplicity in which we can receive that gift through simple faith. And we thank you for all those that have trusted in that gift. Lord, I do pray for Christy this morning. I pray for Dave as he will be sharing, and I do pray for Shirley Schroeder as she will be praying. And just pray, Lord, for each one that your Spirit would empower them. They would just be yielded to you as they share from their heart their road, their story. And I pray as well, Lord, that if there might be some here this morning that have never realized their condition, their current condition before God as being a sinner, and if they have never trusted in you, Lord, that they would realize where they are and who they are before you right now. As they listen to those that share this morning, I pray that you would perhaps walk them down a road of their own this morning to the realization that they are condemned without you, but saved with you. Again, thank you for communion and this opportunity to remember. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Christy.
Hi. I took a risk. I wanted to just write everything out verbatim, but I knew that would be... that's just lifeless and not from the heart. So took a risk and kind of wrote points. So I'm really hoping it comes out how I want. I'm already crying, probably just because I'm just nervous. But part of it is within the story. But I am glad that Pastor Craig walked through scriptures about salvation because I have some, but he covered it all, which is great. But I grew up, my name is Christy, I think he said that before. If you don't know, I grew up in a Christian home with my brother, Derek, over there. We're sister and brother. So he can, like, attest to whatever. If I'm telling the truth, he can kind of help guide me. But we grew up in a Christian home. Our parents were very faithful at going to church every Sunday. So, I mean, really, I always, you know, went to church every Sunday. That was, Sunday morning was their faithful attendance. And I remember the first time hearing the gospel in junior church, of all places, was where I first heard the gospel. So those of you who are doing junior church, I mean, it is such an important ministry. Within my home, I didn't necessarily, wasn't walked through that. So it was a very key place in my life to hear the gospel. And I remember just, I was 4 or 5, so little. You know, my understanding was very little, but I mean, I knew enough and I understood the gospel enough to know, point out that I was a sinner, that I could not enter heaven because of my sin, and that scared me. And I was a little girl thinking, oh my goodness, you know, but it's a reality. You know, all of us have to think through that none of us are even close to God's righteousness. None of us deserve to be there. So I'm sorry, I hate it when I do that. But as a little girl, I remember really understanding that I didn't deserve to be there and that I needed Jesus to take care of my penalty. And so I remember praying, you know, they had led us through a prayer of response, and I really meant it, and I really believed it. And so from then on, as a little girl, I don't know that I grew much. I wasn't, but I had a desire. My brother even remembers seeing me reading my Bible on my own. I was never prompted, like, in the disciplines of you know, praying and reading, but I knew God wanted me to learn his word. I remember not really understanding what I was reading, but I know I'm supposed to, and I want to know God. And so even from a really young age, I remember loving him and wanting to know him more. So a couple of verses I had for that. For I understood, Romans 6:23 was already said, but for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I was so thankful that Christ provided that for me, that he took care of that. I would never be able to do on my own. So my next, I kind of split up into three parts. So early life, I was little. And I'd say college, I wasn't sure what all I needed to include, but college was a big turning point for me. My first time out on my own, I went to a Christian college, And I really just desired to know more about God through college. And it was there that I really realized the depth of my sin. I kind of grew up, people call me goody-goody. You know, I did nothing big, never did drugs, all that stuff. But but it was there that it was really, I kind of just went along, you know, didn't really stand out in my Christian walk, but just kind of walk. But it was there that I really understood. It sounds horrible, but I think I knew I needed Jesus, but I didn't realize how much I needed him. And just pointed out, all of us, even once you're saved, we're filled with selfishness, envy, complaining, anger, sins of omission when you know you should do something and you don't. Impatience, every thought, every motive, all of it will be judged by God. None of us come even close to his righteousness. And so for me, as a goody-goody, you know, the one that everybody would have looked at and said, she's doing great, you know, and I would have acknowledged I was a sinner before, and I knew I needed Jesus. But I think I wrote here that I looked on the street to the pagan person that, you know, is drunk on the sidewalk, and I need Christ just as much as that person. I think in a way, kind of growing up, becoming a believer early, I kind of did kind of put myself a little bit higher. I wouldn't have said it then, but I would say it now. So it was just a good point for me to be humbled and to realize my need. And I think we all need to go there. None of us deserve it. So so as I realized the depth of my sin, I think God became much higher and more amazing. So a verse I have there is Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So to boast in Christ alone. He is my righteousness. He is what, you know, God will see when I enter heaven is Christ's righteousness. College was great, and there's a lot more to it than that, but I felt like I grew a lot spiritually in college. It was a great time for me. The next phase, I'll say the last part, is I'd call stretching flexibility phase of life, which really has continued to now. But being willing to submit to whatever God has for me. I had several things in life. I had my plans. My plan was to get married and have a family. Even though I went to college, I thought, well, you know, if I get a degree, at least I can fall back on that. But ultimately, I really wanted to be married, and my senior year came, and there was no man. So I thought, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? So for me, it sounds silly. A lot of people think that's ridiculous. But for me, it was such a good road to walk down to trust God that he loves me, and he has a plan for me despite, you know, I had my plans, but God had other plans right away, and to be willing to accept that and to love him. Anyway, so that was definitely a stretch. My job, I was very shy. I still am. It's within me not to want to be up here. But my job was very stretching for me as well. I accepted a data entry type position, which is very safe. But the company grew, and they eventually had me doing new employee orientation for like 100-plus people sometimes. And anyway, it was a good time of stretching, of being willing to submit to what God has for me and know that he has my best interest. And I really believe that prepared me for my next phase, which was marriage to Dave. One thing I said I would never do was marry a pastor. And I didn't say it out loud, but I'd watch these girls date to be pastors and think I would never want to do that. And there I was dating a pastor. He was already a pastor even when I started dating him. So that was good for me as well, to be stretched in that way and to be willing to have God use me in a role that I didn't ever, you know, want to have or expect to have. So a verse that I have for that phase is James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And the main part I point out is submissive, that God's wisdom is submissive, and that's hard to do sometimes. because we have our plans, and life does not always go the way we, you know, think it should, but he have to trust his wisdom, and he knows best. So that is my life in a tiny nutshell. I wasn't sure what all to cover, but I'm so thankful, thankful for God. I have so far to go. I'm not deserving of heaven, but I know none of us do, and I'm just thankful that he saved me. And that's it.
Good morning again. I kind of struggled with what all to kind of share as my testimony, and where to start and what all to include. As the older I get, there's more and more stuff that I got to start filtering out to keep within our time limits. But I don't remember exactly the day that I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I take my mother's word that there was a day that it happened. She told me that it happened when I was about 4 years old at a camp, James River Bible Camp. I remember the camp, lots of details about it. A camp similar to the camp that we support with Cedar Mountain Retreat. But I don't remember the exact details of it. And there's actually been times in my life where I've struggled wondering if that was really when I believed or not. But I do remember a lot of details of my life following that I would say were moments of fruit. I remember, it must have been like first grade, maybe even kindergarten. We had a kid in our class who had this crazy anger problem. And it's amazing to think of somebody that's like in first grade that has a anger and a rage problem. But he would just go through the hallways of the school yelling and screaming and just very destructive. And I remember sitting on the merry-go-round, I don't know that they even allow merry-go-rounds on playgrounds anymore, but we had this merry-go-round, and I remember on the merry-go-round, me and my younger brother sharing with this young boy, we were young boys, and just telling him that if he wanted to deal with his rage problem, that he needed Jesus Christ. The only way that he would truly overcome his problem with anger is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it seemed like, you know, I can pick out these little moments. Vacation Bible School was one of my favorite times of the year, and I love that. I remember winning in second grade, maybe. I won a record, of all things. Not a CD, not a digital player. I want a record. And I had one at home, and I would take it, and it was this kid's songs of little kid's songs, and I would sit there, and I had my own player even, and I would sit there and listen to these songs and just really loved the Lord and loved listening to his music, loved listening to teaching, loved being at church in Awana and the different things that came along with growing up. And so even though I don't remember the exact moment that I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I remember fruit in my life after that. It was about the age of 13, I sat down with my pastor, and we talked about being baptized. And he shared with me what baptism was and what it represented. And I had to make a decision. And I was very comfortable in my walk with the Lord. I thought things were going well. I was involved in our youth group. But I didn't know that I really was ready to take that next step. And I understood the importance of baptism, that I was making a declaration, a public declaration, that I was going to live my life for Christ wholly, devoted to him. And I think I really realized the ramifications of that, and I didn't want to. And I knew that if I would get baptized that day, that I was only going to be baptized because it was going to make my dad happy. And as much as I liked pleasing my dad, I knew that that wasn't the right reason to be baptized. And so I said no. And I remember my dad, and I'm much smarter than my dad at 13. He told me that in your Christian walk, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards, but you're not standing still. And I knew that I could stand still. No one else may have ever been able to stand still, but at 13, I was strong enough to just stay where I was in my walk. And Dad told me that it wasn't going to happen. Here was something that the Lord had placed in front of me and a decision that I had to make. And if I chose not to, that look out, you know, it may be a downward walk from there. And I said, no, I can handle it. And my dad was right. My dad was always right. and that's really a point in my life. I can mark a point in my life where life took a pretty rough turn downhill, is when I had an opportunity to step up for Christ and I didn't. And I decided that I was going to just continue to stay where I was at. And it was a rough few years after that through high school, junior high school. Even though I was involved in my church and youth group, I really just participated. Most of it was because I had to. There wasn't that same kind of passion and desire to be a part of youth group anymore. Church wasn't as exciting. I wanted to run the way of the world. About 18, I graduated from high school, realized that there needed to be some serious changes in my life, and I knew that I couldn't do that in the community that I was living in. And there's a man in my life, my youth pastor at the time, who just demonstrated unconditional love for me. He knew what was going on in my life. He was a police officer, so he had ways of knowing all of the details. But it didn't matter what I was doing and what I was getting involved in. I was always allowed in his home. I was always there for meals and whatnot. And he just loved me through it all, and him and his wife. When I graduated from high school, they had moved on, and I called him up, and I said, I need a change in my life. And at that moment, there was no questions asked. He said, there is an empty room in my house, and if you can be here tomorrow, you have a spot to live, and I'll have you a job by the time you get out here. And he lived up to it. It was literally 12 hours later. I was on the West Coast. I didn't give my mom much notice, which was probably best to just say, Mom, I'm leaving. But out on the West Coast, I eventually then was involved in the church there, and I was baptized out there, ready to make that change. From there, I moved back and ended up in Wyoming to go to a little Bible college. And still was rough around the edges. The Lord was still polishing some of those edges. I always think of my sister-in-law the first time we met at Bible college there and how I ended up married to her sister-in-law. Why I got their approval, I'll never know. But it was at Bible college where I really remember my freeing moment. People will talk about the moment of their salvation where they realize that the bondage of sin has been released and it was freeing. I didn't have that. I realized, and looking back, that I have always believed. Obviously, there was a point where I understood and I placed my faith and trust in what I was taught and what I believed. But I grew up in a home where we were taught that you could lose your salvation, that you had to work to maintain your salvation. And so I was constantly, every year at camp, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And we would use the word rededicated our life. We never really used, in our circle, we never used the words you've lost your salvation. That's very harsh. But we all really knew what we meant. And we had this burden on us that we lost our salvation. And so every year, I can pretty much count every year at the campfire, last or second to last day of camp, I went to the campfire knowing that I was going to rededicate my life to the Lord and I was going to ask for his forgiveness all over again and I was going to get saved again. And so when I got to Bible school and they started teaching us that you couldn't lose your salvation, I really struggled with that. I really struggled thinking that God loved us so much that he would keep loving me even when I would blatantly disobey him and blatantly sin. Like I was choosing to walk away from him and it was hard for me to wrap my head around a God that loved me so much that even though I walked away from him, he was right there ready to just welcome me in and loved me through it all. And I believe it was one of my professors that knew that I was struggling with this, and he made us write a paper on security of the believer. And I really feel like he did it for me. I don't know that that was a part of his original plan, but if he didn't do it on purpose, God made him do it for me. But I started reading these verses, Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then John 10, 27 and 30. My sheep will listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. I would look at those verses before and I would believe it, but there was always a little caveat that we'd throw on the end and say, but I can take myself out of the love of God. I can remove myself from his hand. It's my sin that is pulling me out of his love. No one else can, but I can. And it's almost arrogant to think that I am greater than Christ who is holding me, and I can pull myself out of the Father's hand. And once I started to wrap my head around these verses, it was actually John 3:16 is the one that really sold it to me. And as Pastor Craig has read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it's that those last two words, eternal life, is where I finally realized that I had eternal life when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I lost that life, it wasn't eternal in the first place. And so I realized that either he gave me eternal life when I first believe, or he's waiting to give me eternal life when I really believe. And that didn't work. That didn't coincide with what Scripture teaches. And so there was a breaking point in my life, my first semester of Bible school, where I realized that even though I am the worst of sinners, and the worst of sinners as a believer, by turning my back on God who saved me, but I realized there was so much grace that he was giving me, and he loved me through it all, and that it didn't matter. He still loved me, and I was his child, and I couldn't step out of his hand. And it's at that point, it's amazing, at that point, I was so free. I didn't have to worry anymore about maintaining my salvation. And we're kind of taught that if we believe that you can't lose your salvation, that it's kind of cheap grace, and it's really not. My life has been so much easier to live and so much freer to live, even though I understand my sin, even though I understood that I was a sinner and needed his love. My life is so much easier to live, and I think I fall less. I still fall. And I'll get to that in a second here. But I feel like my walk has, I have matured so much as a believer since I grasped that doctrine. And there's even times where I wondered, maybe it was in Bible school where I really believed, and that was, you know, where I put it all together. But looking back over it all, I think I really did believe as a child. I can't think of a time where I didn't love Jesus and know what he did for us. But it was at that moment in Bible school where I was able to realize that he loves me and will continue to love me. And not even I can pull myself away from his love. And it was really that last verse, John 3:16, that I realized that I had eternal life. And that was really my freeing moment. There's been a lot of learning and growing since then, and walking by faith, and growing in so many different ways. The last 15 years have been amazing. Meeting Christy through Derek and June, and it took 7 years, I think, for him to finally let me know he had a sister. So there was a trust building thing there, but. It's been a great time. I really look at the since Bible school is really my growing moments in my maturing. And there's still so much more to do. We started a series this morning in Sunday school on the one another statements. And there's a list on the piece of paper that was handed out of the negative one another statements and the positive one another statements. And the one another statements that are negative, it's amazing how many. I think over half of them all have to do with words that are spoken, whether it's biting or slandering or whatever the word is there. It's so much of what we often do to each other isn't necessarily actions, but it's words. And James goes on and on about keeping our tongue. And I don't know if it's the older I get, the less filter I have. As to some of the things that come out. But right now, God is really working on me and trying to keep my tongue from saying things that I shouldn't. And really, the tongue is just the words that have come out, but my mind and heart have already thought it. And I'm just working on that, making sure to just love people as Christ has loved people. And we're at exciting times right now. With our life, our family, our kids, and with our church family as well. Just exciting times right now.
We're all waiting for you now.
I tried to get out of it. I'm very sorry. I'm Shirley Schroeder, and I think most of you know me. Dave mentioned that the older he gets, the more he has to cull out of his talking, and I'm that much older, I'm going to have to be culling a whole lot more. I was basically raised in a denominational church. I was raised by Christian parents in a Christian home. Sunday school at age 10 was devoted to joining the church. And I went through that, and I did. I joined the church. I remember standing in front of this beautiful church in Wichita, old church, and joining the church. So I was a church member, and I was very proud of that. I was a church member. Camp, youth group, and my social life basically was around my church family. I went off to college. I stayed fairly close as far as going to church in college, and then I became an adult and got out in the real world, and still was going to church and wondering why my life was going so beautifully, because it was. I was just floating right along. Ended up going to a Baptist church because they had in Denver, they had their service in the evenings because I was a mountain climber and a skier, and that was Sundays. So I could go to church in the evenings. And if any of you have been to a Baptist church, they have an altar call every single day, and they use John's Road. And there is no forks on John's Road. And so about 3 weeks into that, into one of those services, I was down to the altar, confessing my sins and accepting Christ as my Savior, and becoming a reborn Christian. Fast forward to 2009. 2009, my mother died. When I became a Christian in the late 60s, he was with me. I've been through a lot of things, and he was always there. I just have never gone down as long as he's been there to hold me. 2009, my mother died, and as we're going through stuff, as most of you mothers have done, you have little packets for your kids. So we got these packets and found them in her cedar chest with our names on them. I'm sitting down on the floor, and, you know, it's kind of an iffy time when your brother and your sister and your mother's just gone. And we're sitting there looking through our packets, and I find this book. And it is from the First Presbyterian Church in Wichita, Kansas. And this is interesting. And I'm reading it, and it's all about the church, the Presbyterian Church, the history of the church, how you join the church, the whole thing. In the back, the very back page, is the prayer of salvation. And in my childish 10-year-old cursive, I had signed it. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden the memory came back. I stood in front of that church when I was age 10, and I confessed my sins. I didn't just join a church. I joined the family of God. From age 10 until age 20-something, I didn't lead a charmed life. God was leading my life. It wasn't charmed. It was God-driven. I would like to say to parents, even though your child has accepted Christ, remind them. Remind them of what it means. Because obviously I did it at 10, but I had to do it in the Baptist church when I can remember. And I can so remember. I can remember because Baptists dunk you all the way under in their thing in the front of the church. Public confession or public acknowledgement of becoming a Christian. And when you do that, then you become in the family of God. You're one of God's children. So from age 10, I was actually a Christian, but from age 20-something until this age, I've done much better in my walk with the Lord, and I still have a ways to go, a long ways. Just very briefly, I was so interested in listening to Christy, because we've watched Christy grow in this church. It's kind of like watching her kids grow. But we watched Christy grow in this church, too, and we've watched her faith and her belief in the Lord just take her to places that I've talked to her parents. Her parents didn't realize she could get there. And it's really been just wonderful watching her grow. So anyway, there you go. That's me.
All right. Well, thank you, Christy, Dave, and Shirley, for sharing your stroll down memory lane with us. And it is, as Shirley said, remind your children of what salvation is. They may have trusted at a very young age, but remind them. And that is exactly what communion is all about. It's about remembering that great gift that was given to us and received through simple faith. And at this time, if I could have Tom and Jim come up. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for